they're having these conversations imagining what the platform could be used for, and then also how much is it worth the time and benefit.
Welcome to Social Good, a podcast for the Chronicle of Philanthropy. I'm your host, Allison Fine, and as always, we're talking about using social media for social good. Well, it's happened again. I have new friends popping up in a new place. Actually, these are a lot of old friends from Twitter and Facebook, but it's definitely a new place. With a lot of fanfare, Google announced its new social networking site called Google+ last month. It's a shot aimed directly at the heart of Facebook and their domination in this space, and it actually looks an awful lot like Facebook. With our attention and time already stretched so thin, how much energy should we spend on this new social media channel? I knew immediately who the very best person was to answer that question, and it's my friend Beth Cantor, the author of Beth's blog, the co-founder of Zoetica, and the co-author with me of the Network Nonprofit, and the knower of all things social media. Beth, thanks so much for joining me today.
Yes, so great to be here. So nice to talk with you, as always.
As always. We do our best work bi-coastally.
Yes, when we're on different time zones. Right.
So Beth, tell me about Google+ as it relates to how it's different and the same from Facebook.
Okay, well, it's this shiny new object in town that all the geeks, early adopters, and Silicon Valley insiders have totally fallen in love with. So right now, it's a geek audience that's there, early adopters, and as opposed to Facebook, which I think we could call mainstream by now with, what, over 750 million monthly regular users.
Right.
So the difference between, you know, the big difference is the fact that you don't friend people, you put them in circles. And Google gives you a little bit more control over your privacy settings and who can see what and who you talk to.
And the purpose of these circles is to allow you to have conversations with just that sort of targeted set of people. Is that right?
Yes, assuming they're on Google+ and following your stream.
Right.
And have the time to reply, yes, and they're interested in the topics. The other thing that's different is, you know, it's been called by David Armano as a social layer between Google products. And one way to think about it is it's the glue that strings together different Google products.
Can you give me an example of that?
Well, it has something called Sparks in it, which is basically search, although it's not working as many people would like it to work. But so that's one piece. The other is this thing called Google Hangouts,
right,
which is basically a group video chat. So think about Google Talk, if you've used that, or Skype, where you can talk to multiple people by video camera.
Right. So now I know that you've been talking to a few nonprofit-y folks about how they have started to or could use this for their social change efforts. What are you hearing from them, Beth?
Well, first of all, in fact, I just actually have done a couple of peer exchanges here at Packard. And the first thing I introduced are some principles. And the first principle is don't get seduced by shiny object syndrome. And also the Gartner technology adoption hype cycles. And you can really have a strategy about how you go about figuring out whether or not you should adopt a new platform. You can be an early adopter and dive in and potentially risk wasting your time or getting a lot of benefits. You can be a moderate and you understand the value of early adoption, but you're going to wait a little bit until some of the kinks are worked out and you know that it's going to be worth your investment of time. Or kind of wait until you see a lot of proven use cases, mm-hmm. And then adopt. And usually this happens over the course of 5 years. Mm-hmm. So I had Kristen Rofinkbinder from Moms Rising and Bruce Leslie from First Focus on the line with about 40 statewide children's health insurance advocates on the line. And I asked them, what's your strategy? Mm-hmm. And Kristen, who is, you know, Moms Rising is an early adopter, as we know from, you know, the book we wrote.
Right.
Their approach really is, you know, they're talking about it right now. She's allocated some staff time to explore it, but she's asking them to watch their time so it doesn't become a time suck. And they're having these conversations of imagining what the platform could be used for. And then also how much time, you know, is it worth the time and benefit? So they're an early adopter but taking an ROI approach as they go.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, they have a couple of really important battles right now that they're, you know, the debt issue, you know, and cutting Medicaid and all that. So they want to stick with proven strategies that work right now. So, and she did hard by some, and I've heard this from another of early adopters, is, you know, if you haven't yet really built your network on Facebook or Twitter or other proven channels, you should focus there first and then go to Google Plus. So for the early adopters, it's a little bit easy for them to explore because they've already internalized the workflow for these other networks, but they're doing it very carefully.
You know, I was a little surprised here because I thought what you were going to say was if somebody hadn't built their networks on the other channels, this could be an opportunity to get into something new and early and maybe, you know, be someplace that other folks aren't yet. What do you think that Google has in mind as the primary reasons why people would be there instead of Facebook?
Well, they want a world domination.
Sure.
Don't
we all?
but here's the thing. I'm going to actually take it down directly into social change area.
Sure.
And that's, yes, that's an idea. You know, let's be the early adopters and reap the benefits. But there are a couple of issues right now with the way the platform works. And let me preface this by saying it's really, really early.
Right.
And Google's really listening and changing things. So the platform is evolving rapidly. Like, I would hate to have to do any kind of training on this because my materials would change.
Right. You'd be out of date by next week, huh?
Right. As a matter of fact, when I was preparing for the webinar to even talk about it, I had to change my slides at the last minute because they made some changes as to whether or not they were going to permit a brand presence. But, okay, so the first thing is the Google works with asymmetric sharing. And what that means, that's a geeky word, but it means that if I put you in my circle on Google, you don't have to put me in your circle. That's the way it works on Facebook. If you want to see my stuff, we both have to be friends with one another.
Right.
On Twitter, it works with that asymmetric model.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no way for you to have private conversations within groups. Okay, so, and that's really good because it protects your privacy, but it's really, really bad, I think, for community management and community discovery and for sustaining conversations about social change, which, you know, Allison, mm-hmm. is the bread and butter of what activists do. We have to talk about it and build relationships
right.
and have that serendipity to open up to new people to bring into our cause. You have to work really hard to do that right now because of the lack of features. For example, I have a circle now where I've been just putting people that I have discovered that work in social change that are interested about different social change areas. I would like to be able to make that public.
Right.
I'd like to have an open circle or a public circle, but that information is not available. The other problem that we're facing too is that, while the numbers are impressive, I think there's like 10 million users, it's still in field testing. It's not mainstreamed yet.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have I hear a lot of conversations about, yeah, if my people were here. So
right.
if your people are early adopters in the tech industry and early adopters in the journalist industry, you know, then it makes a lot of sense.
Right, right. Otherwise, you could just be doing what Kristen is doing and dipping your toe in and seeing what might be there for you without switching your whole business and your whole strategy over there yet.
Yes, and that's what I'm doing personally.
Right.
I'm doing my Andy Warhol approach, 15 minutes a day.
Oh, good for you.
Twice a day.
Right.
And right now for me, and I'm not even, and the jury's still out on me because it's still changing, but I have found it useful the thing that I liked about it when I first got on it is like, oh, wow, there's some early adopters that I had lost touch with. Over the years, and I'm able to actually find them now through all the noise.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
So I'm using it for kind of curating of information
right.
that I find. And because I work in tech, I'm finding a lot of good stuff.
Right. So it's like, but, for you, it's like getting to a conference very early and finding some other early risers there that you hadn't seen in a while, huh?
And then curating of information mm-hmm. to continue sharing with the people that I share with on other networks that I've spent years building up.
Mm-hmm.
And that still worked for me. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, there's nothing wrong with them. I mean, you could say that there are, you know, there's people that buy new cars every year and there's people that read the reviews.
Right, right. So for our Nonprofit friends, Beth, we know they've dipped their toes in social media over the last 18 months. They've just gotten their board over the hump with Facebook, right, and Twitter. And now
yeah,
here's
they think
this
they're
new
cutting
thing.
Edge with Facebook.
Right.
And like the thought of it's called a Yasnet, yet another social network.
The Yasnet, that's terrific, right? And so what I'm hearing from you is don't panic, right? You can dip in a few minutes a day here, see if there's something of value to you. But if there's nothing of value to you, you don't necessarily have to be here. Is that right?
Right. And if it does turn out to be, you know, the next, you know, God's gift to humanity, and you have to be, you know, I'm being sarcastic, I know. But if it turns out that it is something, then you've, you know, you've planted some seeds and you have some presence on the network and an understanding of how it works. You know what else I was really interested? I've been messing around with it when I've been doing trainings.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Hangouts, that you know, that's the shiny object. Because mm-hmm. it's kind of cool to bring in a panel of people into a training. You project them on the wall, and you can ask them questions in front of the group. Or you could use it at a conference, you know. But is that a reason to invest hours and hours?
Right. For that Star Trek moment. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other thing I've been noticing, too, unless I really, really, really push it, I don't get a lot of traction around conversation threads that I start that are on social activism topics.
Because those folks aren't there yet.
Or they're not finding them. They're not finding the conversations.
I see.
Except for Jillian York, who is a privacy advocate. Because
right.
there's tons of privacy rights people there. And I did actually, when I was visiting my 90-year-old dad, we did a hangout. And we had a good experience and a bad experience. The bad experience is I did it publicly, and they weren't really designed to be public. That means anybody could join. And of course, some idiot gave us the finger. Joined and gave us the finger. Another idiot mooned us. I just put it out to my circles, and I had people there, from one person from Japan, somebody from Italy, somebody from the UK, as well as some people in America, and it was actually entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
My dad said, "This is better than Jeopardy."
Especially the mooning part.
Yeah.
Well, Beth, I want to thank you as always. When I heard about Google+, my first instinct was, I can't wait to talk to Beth, and she'll tell me what I need to know about this. So thanks for sharing with all of us.
Great. And I've rounded up some good links in this blog post I wrote that can help people get started.
Super. We'll be sure to link to it. As Beth says, here we go again with Yasnet, yet another social network. She has a really smart way of giving us all a way to think about whether it's in our best strategic interest to be an early adopter for a tool like Google+. But remember, there's nothing wrong with watching and waiting, or as Beth is doing, testing the new channel with just 15 minutes a day. Google+ is far from perfect. It's changing almost daily in response to feedback from early adopters like Beth. So take a peek and step carefully and see what's there that advances your strategic goals. That's our conversation for this month. Please visit philanthropy.com for more resources and information on using social media for social change. Thanks for listening, and I'll be back on the first Thursday of next month with a new edition of Social Good.